Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean. All right, glad you're with us. A lot of news happening today. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. The Austin serial bomber blew himself up, and he is dead. Now, there is some fear, I want to warn you, among some in law enforcement. By the way, it shows how great, again, law enforcement is. One of the SWAT team members, when this guy blew himself up in his car after he drove into a ditch, one of the SWAT members approaching the car was hit with some of the shrapnel. All reports are he's going to be okay, but it shows you the courage, the bravery, and the dedication to keeping our towns and our cities safe and secure. And we tip our hat to the FBI, to the Austin police, and everybody in between. Another opportunity to remind you when we talk about deep state actors like McCabe and Comey and Rosenstein and Strzok and Page and Loretta Lynch and Eric Holder and Susan Rice and Ben Rhodes and pretty much everybody that worked it for Obama and Clapper and Brennan. We're not talking about rank and file. We're being very specific. Deep state actors abusing the powerful tools of intelligence, using the investigatory skills that they've been giving to do no good. And that means, you know, to put in fraudulent investigations, exonerate people without doing investigations, rigging investigations, putting the fix in investigations. A very different story, but the rank and file men and women in the FBI and the intel community that fight for us every day, protect us every day. We saw it all happen. There is some fear, and we'll get to this later in the program, as the Austin police chief said earlier today, that they want people to be vigilant still because we don't know if this 24-year-old Anthony Condit, we now have his name, person responsible for the Boston serial bombing, we don't know if there are any more explosives out there that he might have set up. So as we move forward, we just ask everyone to just proceed with caution in the area. But really a tip of the hat to good old-fashioned shoe leather, deep dive police work that actually got us to this point. There's also a concern. You have to think about it. No evidence yet, but you have to wonder, worry, be concerned about a possible accomplice in this case. Geraldo is on the ground in Austin, and he'll be joining us coming up later in the program today. So we'll get to that. You know, it's amazing how bad the media lies in this country. I know I say it every day. I know that I play a lot of tapes that prove it every day. The evidence is overwhelming. It's incontrovertible. There's so much out there. There is no journalism. Journalism is dead. You know, ask yourself, look at, for example, the coverage of Stormy. Stormy, 24/7 Stormy. And I'm looking at it and I'm comparing it to, okay, Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton, talk about a Me Too movement and talk about abuse of power movement. I mean, he's the president and you got a 21-year-old intern in the White House. So, yeah, she's above the age of consent. I get it. But I doubt any parent that sent their kid to intern at the White House would expect what happened in the case of poor Monica Lewinsky.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never.
So I went back, we're doing a little digging, and I'm looking at, you know, the so-called cable news channels out there, CNN fake news, conspiracy theory TV, MSNBC, And I'm looking, okay, so there's a big difference. What we're talking about here is a consensual relationship that may or may not have occurred 12 years ago. Now, only up to recently, nobody had ever said a thing about any abuse of any kind by anybody, any place, anywhere. I mean, now we're doing lie detector tests, and that's big news on the cable channels. But, you know, how many of these very same people that were in the business at the time when Juanita Broderick came out and said she was raped by Bill Clinton, a lot of these same people weren't interested in covering her story. A lot of the same people, they didn't want to hear about Kathleen Willey's story of being groped and grabbed and fondled and touched and kissed against her will inside the Oval Office. Nobody really wanted to hear her story either. And these very same people that are, you know, feigning their moral outrage, as I say, over Stormy, are the same. They didn't reach out to Juanita Broderick and interview Juanita Broderick. And this is not consensual. That in that case, it was rape. In the case of Kathleen Willey, it was, you know, basically groping, grabbing, touching, fondling, kissing against her will. And in the case of Paula Jones, it was exposing, dropping his pants and exposing his penis. These are very different examples, as you can see. And the same would go for whoever this Playboy woman is. I don't know, whatever her name is. And I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, so in these cases, we're talking about a consensual relationship. In those cases, we're talking about a predator. They're more interested in the consensual relationship going back way. And I don't think anybody in America, everybody heard the Access Hollywood tape. I don't think anybody, I'll quote Jerry Falwell Jr., anybody that voted for Donald Trump thought that they were voting for a pastor in chief. And America definitely made a conscious decision that it wanted to elect somebody that was a disruptor, somebody that was outside the normal political channels, that they wanted a shakeup of the deep state, a shakeup of the swamp and of the sewer, and that the issues of the economy and the issues that he ran on and border security and being tough and not giving $150 billion to countries like Iran, where mullahs are saying and chanting death to America, that was more important than some of the social issues that we might discuss. And I'm not putting any moral judgment on it here, but the same people that sat idly by Hillary Clinton never, ever, ever said a word about the women, never had to answer the question about what she thought of Juanita Broderick and Kathleen Willey and Paula Jones. And when you look at the coverage and you see that these networks never interviewed these women, but they're interested in a consensual relationship, well, that would be an abusively biased political agenda by the media. And I'm not taking a stand right, wrong, indifferent here. I don't know what happened. But I will tell you this. The double standard stinks to high heaven, and it's quite typical. And that's what we get every day. And that's why when I declared journalism in America is dead, it is dead. And we've done more investigative reporting in the last year on this show, I would tell you, by exposing Warren abuse, surveillance abuse, FISA abuse, an abuse of power on so many. We found that Hillary, we found the exact laws she broke when she mishandled and destroyed classified information and obstructing justice by deleting emails and destroying and acid washing hard drives and breaking up devices with hammers. Those are all crimes that would put every one of you in jail. They never covered that in the last 2 years. They never covered that in the lead up to the election. We did. They never covered this whole cover up and the rigging of an investigation that included Comey and McCabe and Strzok and Page. And we're just barely touching the surface of the evidence here. They never touched the whole issue. You know, they're so concerned about foreign nationals influencing American elections. Unless the foreign national happens to have the name Christopher Steele and his contacts are the Russian government and people in Russia, and that even though he put together a dossier full of lies, that doesn't seem to bother the media one bit, that Hillary, who fixed the primary election with Bernie Sanders, which also doesn't bother them, and tried to use the Russian lies to fix the general election. You know, that doesn't seem to bother anybody either, nor the fact that that phony dossier full of lies was purposely presented by some top deep state actors in the FBI and the Department of Justice. They knew Hillary paid for it. They knew it was bought and paid for. We didn't know till, you know, just a couple of months ago, because Fusion GPS wouldn't tell us for a long time. Now we found out. Yeah, it was, in fact, it came from the Hillary campaign and the DNC, whose money she was controlling. And what do we learn? That they presented it to a FISA court. What's a FISA court for? Well, that's to get a warrant to spy on Americans. The bar, the standard is set perfectly high for a reason, because you can't have your government using the all-powerful tools of intelligence against the American people without violating the Constitution and our Fourth Amendment rights against unreasonable search and seizure. So the bar, the standard is high, and it's usually involved foreign actors. So it's like the bar is high when it comes to listening in on phone calls. Even if it's foreign actors, if an American is on the phone, then there are very strict laws and rules and protocols that have to be followed, but they weren't followed in the case of General Flynn. In other words, you have to minimize what the American is saying. You don't even write down in your report as standard operating procedure through minimization. You call that person, even if you can identify them, you don't unmask them. You call them an American. And then, of course, that wasn't happening. And then you don't unmask the names of the people that were caught up in incidental surveillance. That's what they did with Michael Flynn. And then you certainly don't leak raw intelligence and use that as a perjury trap foundation against any American. That's an abuse of power. That's why I call this the biggest abuse of power investigation ever. You know, I'm watching the coverage of the media. You know, do you know that if you go back to the last election of Vladimir Putin, I have a headline. Obama congratulates Putin for election win. That's the same Obama that was warned by Devin Nunes early in 2014 that the Russians wanted to wreak havoc in the 2016 elections. He was warned. But then again, just prior to the election, well, he was saying to Donald Trump, stop whining. No serious person believes that anybody, especially Russia, could ever, you know, influence our elections. And it was only until he thought at that point that Hillary was going to win. He didn't think that Donald Trump had a shot of winning. You know, it's like the same guy that, you know, sitting there with, you know, Putin's, you know, third in charge. And he said, tell Vladimir that I'll have more flexibility after the election. The only person that has disrupted the economy of Russia is Donald Trump. What do you think energy independence is all about? The lifeblood of Russia's economy is energy. And frankly, the energy is the fact that we are now producing, and we're going to drill an AMWAR, and we've got these two pipelines, and he has revitalized single-handedly with executive orders the coal industry in America and fracking and natural gas production. Do you realize that that Putin's economy is about to collapse? That's Donald Trump's fault. You can blame him for that. And Donald Trump, who imposed new sanctions on not only Russia, but organizations, individuals tied to the malicious cyber attacks against the U.S. And Obama never did a thing except hit his little pretty little reset button with Hillary's counterpart and talk about a Russian reset and talk about,
I'll have more flexibility after the election, Tell Vladimir.
I tell him. Everything is like upside down. It's really the most bizarre time you're ever going to live in your life. What you hear, what you read, what you see is not the truth. And what is the truth is slowly being revealed. You know, what did I mean when I came back from my big 2-week vacation every year? I mean, it's kind of pathetic. I guess got to say one thing about these vacations. I'm listening to my staff last night. They're going to the Caribbean. They're going to Europe. One, somebody, where did you go on your vacation or
Hawaii.
Wherever?
It was Hawaii. I recommend it.
You used my condo in Naples once, so that's about as big a vacation as you've had. But you bought your new house this year, so your vacation is at home, right?
But yeah, that's it. It's a staycation. Thanks.
You know, and Jason is happy at Coyote
Very
Ugly.
Very exotic
at Coyote Ugly. But the thing is, I'm listening to these people. They're going here. I'm like, who has time for these vacations? I don't have time for these vacations. Anyway, but everything when I came back, I said it's the year of the boomerang. Well, what did I mean? Well, it wasn't Trump-Russia collusion. It was Hillary paying for Russian and Russian government lies to manipulate the American voter. Well, wait a minute. That's upside down. That's inside out. The black is white. White is black. Red is purple. And purple is red. I mean, none of this, everything that they thought, they never, ever thought Trump would win. They never thought they would be exposed. You know, you got literally, and I'll play this later in the program, guys like Brennan, the former communist, for crying out loud. He is lashing out with dripping hatred and anger in the hopes that the deep state can rebound and somehow finish the job of total delegitimization of Donald Trump and undo a duly elected president. You know, I've talked about the five forces against this president. Okay, we know we've got Democrats again. We know we got the media again. We know we got weak Republicans against them. John McCain. John McCain never misses an opportunity to be against Donald Trump. Healthcare would have been gone, but for John McCain coming back and, oh, I hate Donald Trump. Let me do this to Donald Trump, even though he had promised to repeal and replace for. And all these forces and the deep state. And I've been right all along. And this Inspector General report is going to prove about Hillary's email, about the laws broken, about the fix being in, about her literally paying for Russian lies. She did it. And to manipulate the American voters, then lying to FISA judges, spying on opposition party candidates, and covering the whole mess up. The biggest abuse of power, corruption scandal in American history. I 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941 Sean, if you want to be a part of this extravaganza and be a part of this program. Alan Dershowitz, I got to tell you something. His commentary throughout all of this has been brilliant and spectacular. And years ago, he and I had had a couple of run-ins together. You know, it's just in the course it was political more than anything else. And I've been watching. He goes on Twitter and he fights people like Lawrence Tribe. Now, you got to understand, these are people that have all argued before the U.S. Supreme Court numerous times. And he just tears him up. I mean, it's actually it's almost art in the making. It's so good what he's been doing on Twitter. Anyway, he's one of the most respected legal minds in the country. He's actually on Hannity tonight, as a matter of fact. He's a longtime Democrat, and he served as part of Bill Clinton's impeachment defense team, and he is now calling on the special counsel, Robert Mueller, to suspend this Russiagate witch hunt. And in an op-ed that he put out in The Hill today, Dershowitz is saying that Mueller's probe has left the American people confused and divided, and has caused them to lose faith in the FBI and the Justice Department. That's all true. That is 100% true. And that's sad. No president has had to go through this in their first year of office. Nobody's had anything thrown at him the way Donald Trump has been thrown at. It's been thrown at him. I don't think most politicians could stand up to this, to be perfectly blunt with you. You know, a lot of people ask me in my life, well, Hannity, how do you, my friends ask me, how do you deal with all these horrible things people are saying about you? And I look at them like what? What do you mean? You didn't see this? You didn't see this article? You didn't see this? Well, you know, sweet baby James, who hands me the biggest stack of papers every day that you've ever seen. It's like I read a book before I do the show every day. I read a book a day. It's that amount of research that you do. And I've become a fast reader, and it's where my area of interest is. If I was not working, I'd be doing it anyway, because it's where my passion is. I mean, if you're Howard Stern, you care about celebrities, and you care about TV shows, and you care about sex, and you care about sex, and you care about sex, and, you know, I'm joking. You get the point. But I care. I love politics. I love the country. I believe in principles that can fix the country. I mean, as a guy that came from, you know, no money, and then having had some level of success in my life, I want that for everybody. I know that America, without a strong America, the country is screwed, absolutely screwed. You know, I had this fight with this guy in New Zealand the other night where we have a long phone call, and he's telling me that we're arguing about America's involvement in certain conflicts and wars. Now, we have made mistakes. Not going to say there's no such thing as a perfect person. All have sinned and all have fallen short. There's no such thing as a perfect country. And I was saying, whoa, imagine the world without the United States of America. No country ever in the history of mankind has accumulated more power and abused it less than this country. No country ever has accumulated more power and used it to advance the human condition for good than this country. You know, all those Americans that slammed the beaches of Normandy, I think back to my days, Marty, remember that Marty? He was one of them. He used to be a longtime caller of the show. He passed away a number of years ago. I mean, we only ask for a place to bury our dead. We're not invading forces. And we can't be the world's policemen. I'll be the first to tell you that. And it's sad that we don't even fight wars the way they need to be fought anymore. We fight them. We have rules of engagement. And meanwhile, the enemy is firing their weapons at us from hospitals and daycare centers and schools. It's unbelievable. Anyway, so, and I just go on and on. And I'm like, yeah, we're not perfect, but God help this world if we're not in this. And if the world, if it's to be successful, we need a strong United States. All of this is that we have dealt with in the last however many years now, all this anti-Trump deep state garbage, all it's done is prevented America on some level of achieving even more. And what Trump has been able to achieve is pretty spectacular. And I'm not sure a lot of people could compartmentalize the way he does. And the fact that he lashes out once in a while because he's pissed and he's tired and he sees the injustice of it all. And the fact that, you know, he's getting lectures from Trey Gowdy. Well, act like you're innocent. Well, the way you act like you're innocent is to say, I didn't do it. That's how most people react to that if you're innocent. But, you know, oh, sorry, he's not acting presidential. He's never going to act the way you want him to act. He's not like your typical president. And he wasn't elected to be a typical president that acted in typical ways. He is a disruptor and an iconoclast. And the American people, in their wisdom, in a lot of ways, knew exactly what they were doing, because they know that that political class in that sewer, in that swamp in D.C. is so fundamentally broken and corrupt. So they brought in an outsider. The amazing thing is, okay, got the tax cuts done. We're now on a path to energy independence. The dictator in North Korea, Rocket Man, now has been literally shut off financially. So he wants to meet with us. I don't know what's going to come of it, but that's certainly better than doing what Clinton did. I'm going to give you all these billions in energy subsidy. I just ask you to be a nice person and don't build nuclear weapons. And that's it. This is a good deal for American people. Yeah, good deal. Bribing dictators and kissing their ass. A really good deal. Just like kissing the ass of mullahs that hate us with $150 billion of taxpayer money. I mean, unless Donald Trump grovels to dictators, he's never going to be liked by the left. Anyway, so back to, you know, I don't care what people say about me. I don't care. There are these people that are obsessed that can't write an article without mentioning my name. And I go through the pile, you know, and there's the Hannity haters, I think is what it says every day. And I look at it. All right. Typical. Throw it out. And then I move on to the more important issues of the day. So, you know, this is where the country is, and this is where exactly where the left wants it. They want to sow chaos and discord, and they don't want Trump to get his agenda through. And they still would go back to the failed 8 years of Obama that they never recognize because they don't do their job. And Dershowitz is right in saying this. He had this op-ed in the Hill today, and Dershowitz saying Mueller's probe has left the American people confused, divided, and caused them to lose faith in the FBI and the Department of Justice. By the way, I don't want Americans to lose faith in the FBI. Just look at what they did down in Austin. Just because you have a few higher, upper echelon, deep state actors, you know, you got your Clappers, your Brennans, you got your Comeys, you got your McCabes, you got your Rosensteins, you got your Strzok, you got your Pages, you got your Loretta Lynches. That does not represent the rank and file of law enforcement or in the intelligence community. We've made that distinction repeatedly, and it bears repeating again and again, because those You know, people are risking their lives every day for us. And by the way, if you care about risking the lives of people in the intel community, maybe you wouldn't put top secret, private, confidential, special access program information on a mom and pop server in a bathroom closet and have intelligence agencies from all over the world hack into Hillary's system and steal all of it. You know, somebody said to me, well, where did WikiLeaks get it? I said, I don't know. I have no clue. I have no idea. At least they know where they got it. But we probably can safely assume Russia hacked into Hillary's system, and we can safely assume China did, and we could probably safely assume Iran did, and North Korea did, and just pick any other the rest of the countries and that hate us, and you're probably right. So I guess it could have been from any of those sources. Now, some people in the intel community swear it's Russia. I'm like, fine, Russia. Whoever trusted Putin? Nobody. He was the same guy that in 2009 had operatives on the ground in America. And we had an inside FBI informant. And ironically, Robert Mueller was the FBI director. We didn't do anything there. And Putin's network bribed their way, schemed their way, blackmailed their way, extorted their way, you know, through getting 20% of America's uranium. Meanwhile, we import 90% of our uranium. Anyway, President Trump is right, Dershowitz says, in saying the special counsel should never have been appointed to investigate so-called a Russia connection or collusion. There was no evidence of any crime committed by the administration. Now, this is the important part. Dershowitz will tell us tonight. The appointment of a special counsel has done more harm than good. It has politicized our justice system beyond repair. The FBI deputy director has been fired for leaking and lying under oath. His testimony appears to be in conflict with the former FBI director. He's talking about Comey as to whether leaks were authorized. Messages by high-ranking FBI agents, Strzok and Page, suggest a strong bias against Trump. And in the case of Strzok, he's involved in everything from Michael Flynn to writing the exoneration before investigation, you know, and interviewing even Hillary Clinton. Anyway, and then he goes on to say that a tweet by a former CIA director reveals equally strong negative views of the president. That's Brennan. You can add Clapper to that mix. And he writes, you know, now 75% of the American people think the deep state has an agenda separate and apart from what a real democratic republic should look like. And Dershowitz goes on, the public has lost faith in the leadership of the Justice Department and the FBI. That's true. They don't trust congressional investigative committees because you got people like Shiftless Schiff out there lying on a regular basis. They don't know whom to believe when they hear conflicting accounts. There are leaks galore. Look at the leak last night. Donald Trump talks to Putin and it's leaked within minutes. Minutes? Who leaked that information? Who did that yesterday? When it first happened, I wrote an attorney friend of mine. I said, this can't happen anymore. Anyway, and then he goes on to say they don't know who to believe. Leaks galore. It's a total mess. Dershowitz suggests it's not too late to try and repair some of the damage done. Let Congress now appoint a nonpartisan commission, conduct a transparent investigation of Russia's efforts to influence our elections. Let the special counsel suspend his investigation until the nonpartisan commission issues a report. If the report identifies crimes and criminals, well, there'll be time enough to indict and prosecute. Right now, we need nonpartisan truth. Listen, that's never going to happen. Not in this environment. Not with Comey, not with Mueller, not with Weissman, and not with this team of deep state power abusing, you know, fanatics that want to hate Trump at every turn. You know, we're doing this deep dive. We got Sarah Carter and David Schoen coming up later in the program today, you know, into, you know, who is the, you know, we know about deep state James Comey. You know, we know about other corrupt government officials. They all should be worried. I would say McCabe's going to probably end up being charged. So will Comey. That's why Comey and his book tour is laughable. He added Rachel Maddow to the list of powerful interviewers that he's going to go on their shows. All right, Politico's reporting that Bob Goodlatte, he wants the 1.2 million documents that the Inspector General Horowitz has that is leading up to his report that's coming out hopefully shortly. The DOJ's been stonewalling congressional oversight every single step of the way. Why is that? Why doesn't Rosenstein and the DOJ want us to see stuff? Rosenstein, who signed off on the Pfizer renewal at least once, maybe twice. And we already know the fix was in. We know Comey and McCabe and Strzok and Page and others. We know that they gave Hillary a pass when she broke laws. Obvious laws were broken. Rosenstein's the guy who went begging to Paul Ryan, oh, don't let the American people see the truth about the FISA abuses. Why? What is Rod Rosenstein afraid? He's the guy that approved FISA based on a phony Clinton paid for dossier. And then he appointed Mueller. He has a conflict of interest. He's rotten to the core, too. And he's tied into all of this. You know, massive conflicts of interest. And I have no idea. We need a special second special counsel. That's the only thing that's going to fix this. Because you can't have the DOJ and FBI investigating themselves. You just can't. You know, you've got now Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, they've joined in along with everybody else saying we need a second special counsel. You know, I think these guys are right on. Robert Mueller, BFF, James Comey. Look at the story we told you yesterday about Robert Mueller, the man above reproach. Really? He's involved in the Whitey Bulger case? He put four innocent people in jail? He's involved in that case where four innocent men went to jail? The judge ended up, after two of them rotted and died in jail, the two others got out, and they got $100+ million award from a judge because they were unlawfully prosecuted and were innocent and exculpatory evidence withheld. No wonder why he likes Andrew Weissman. He's just like him. We're told Robert Mueller is a man beyond reproach, impeccable credentials, above the fray. Oh, nobody can criticize him, really? Yeah, we're doing a full-week investigation on him. He's not that impressive. We found information that nobody else in the media is going to tell you about Robert Mueller. Just facts, truth, information. We'll do our deep dive with Sarah Carter and David Schoen coming up. We'll head to Austin now that this serial bomber blew himself up. Geraldo Rivera's on the ground. That's coming up.
At this point, especially in terms of its place in the world, is this president letting our country down?
Well, I think the president has shown a lack of understanding of international affairs, as well as a real ignorance of what it takes to be president of the United States. And that's what prompted my tweets. He is mean-spirited. He is dishonest. He has shown a lack of integrity. And he has continued to, I think, demean the office of the presidency. And so I've decided to put my silence aside and to speak up and speak out, because I do think our future is in jeopardy while Mr. Trump continues his antics.
Why won't the president confront Vladimir Putin? Why won't he read the cards and say the things that you say need to be said to Vladimir Putin? Do you believe he's somehow in debt to the president of Russia?
I think he's afraid of the president of Russia.
Why?
Well, I think one can speculate as to why, that the Russians may have something on him personally that they could always roll out and make his life more difficult. Clearly, I think it's important for us to be able to improve relations with Russia. But the fact that he has had this fawning attitude toward Mr. Putin has not said anything negative about him. I think continues to say to me that he does have something to fear and something very serious to fear.
You believe Russia has something on him?
I believe that the Russians would opt for things to do if they believe that it was in their interest. And the Russians, I think, have had long experience with Mr. Trump and may have things that they could expose.
Something personal, perhaps?
Perhaps.
What might happen, especially given these latest tweets where he's really pushing back, and he's pushing back against Mueller by name?
Well, I think you have concerns on the international front as well as on the domestic front. On the international front, I'm hoping we're not going to see a wag-the-dog scenario whereby he's going to try to distract the attention here domestically and politically on him and engage in some type of international initiative that is going to really put our nation at risk. Military action against North Korea, maybe doing something vis-a-vis Iran, again, tearing up the Iranian nuclear agreement and provoking and pushing for some type of confrontation in the Gulf. On the domestic front, if he sacks Rod Rosenstein or Bob Mueller, I think that really is going to bring this country to the brink of crisis. And that's when I think the members of Congress, particularly Republicans in Congress, are going to step up and do what is necessary in order to protect this country.
All right, hour two of the Sean Hannity Show. Write down our toll-free telephone number. It's 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program, deep state actor himself, John Brennan, Obama's former CIA director, former communist, apparently, got to be the head of the deep state, the head of the CIA. Ultimately, what we learn about Clapper and Brennan is going to be of most interest to me, as they have had in their possession the most powerful tools of intelligence on the face of the earth. And it's fascinating to me to listen to him, you know, talk about the serious threat that is Russia. There might be something compromising on Russia and as it relates to Donald Trump. Well, it wasn't Donald Trump that put the sanctions on Russia. It's not Donald Trump that is cutting away at the lifeblood of the Russian economy, which is energy, by making America energy independent. The person that was warned about the 2016 election in 2014 about Russian influence in the elections, well, that would have been Barack Obama. And remember, just before the election, a week or two before the election in 2016, it was Obama telling Trump to stop whining that no serious person could ever believe or even think at the idea that the Russians could somehow influence our elections.
There is no serious person out there who would suggest somehow that you could even rig America's elections.
I just stopped there. No serious person. Stop whining, he goes on to say. And there was Russian interference in the election. And actually, a lot of it was bought and paid for by the person that John Brennan was supporting. And that is Hillary Clinton. And it was under his watch that people like Comey and Strzok and Page and McCabe and others were all involved in fixing and rigging an investigation into Hillary Clinton for the felonies that we know she created. And he cares about being on the verge of a constitutional crisis. It's all political for him. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. We continue our investigation both today and tonight as it relates to who is Robert Mueller, the man that everybody tells us is beyond reproach and of the utmost integrity, and Donald Trump fires him, it'll be a disaster in the country. Well, number one, Donald Trump is not firing him, never suggested he was going to fire him in any way, shape, matter, or form. This is all media hysteria and spin. Sarah Carter is with us, investigative reporter, Fox News contributor, David Schoen, civil rights criminal defense attorney. Sarah, yesterday on the program, we did a pretty big, deep dive into Robert Mueller and his time in Boston and how, in fact, the FBI had a deal with the notorious criminal and murderer, Whitey Bulger. And, in fact, Mueller was responsible, just like Andrew Weissman, for withholding exculpatory evidence in a case. Four innocent people went to jail. Two died in prison. Ultimately, the judge awarded over $100 million because of Mueller holding back the evidence in that case. But yet he's a man beyond reproach, we're told.
This is why it is so important for the public to understand who Mueller really is. Because if you just go by statements made by lawmakers, but on both sides of the aisle, both Republicans and Democrats, as well as others who allowed Mueller, you'll never know the truth about what happened in Mueller, in Mueller's past cases or Andrew Weissman's past cases or the, 13 people that are sitting on the special counsel who have been very, adamant about their stance with the Democratic Party, making donations to the Democratic Party, and seeing a lot of conflicts of interest with these folks. But also, where is this investigation going in the future? That's what we've got to look at here, Sean. We can't understand where the special counsel investigation is going if we don't understand the past. And if you look at the past, Mueller, Comey, who he was friends with, I mean, there's a huge longtime friend with, there's a conflict of interest right there. Weissman, who's on the special counsel, they've had some pretty serious problems in the past. And David Schoen brought it up very well in the show last night when he spoke about, both of them being involved in two of the biggest problems with the FBI in their history, the two biggest cases that were bungled. And let's go a little bit further. Even the anthrax case was a potential problem for Mueller. So we have a right to question. Now, granted, Mueller, there are many things about him that people can commend. His service in the military as a Marine, he was awarded the Bronze Star, of course. But that doesn't take away from the fact, that there were cases in the past that were very questionable, things that they did that were very questionable that should raise the concern of the president and his counsel, and they should be able to defend themselves publicly.
Are there things in the past that are beyond troubling? In other words, David, if you're talking about two of the biggest bungled cases in history, I mean, I'm looking all over this Whitey Bulger case and this, you know, immunity deal for Whitey Bulger while he's committing more murders. And then, of course, four innocent people go to jail, and then, of course, it's overturned and $100 million-plus judgment in that case. Well, that sounds a lot like Andrew Weissman. It's always been puzzling to me why he picked Andrew Weissman in the first place.
Yes, well, that latter question has a lot of answers, I think, as you know. But as to the question of whether it's more than troubling, it absolutely is. Listen, Sarah's written a definitive piece on this, and now it's being fleshed out even more thanks to her research. But they... what's more than troubling about it is people died, people were killed under the supervision of these two men. And what I mean that very directly. I'm not playing games here. Mueller was the supervising U.S. attorney over this agent, John Connolly. John Connolly is in prison for murder. He was complicit in the murder with his informants. He passed information to the informants. Andrew Weissman was the assistant U.S. attorney in charge of top echelon informant, and the FBI agent, Linda Vecchio, who handled him. People were killed. Innocent people were killed. A 17-year-old boy, Patrick Porco, was killed because of information that was passed between them. So these two presided over that. So it's either they knew and something horribly, horribly wrong happened, or it's a question of malfeasance, and people died either way, and people who were wrongly convicted remain in prison today. So yes, that's more than troubling to me. And I'd say to Mr. Mueller, quite frankly, with all due respect, when he says what happened back then happened a long time ago, not for the families, not for the families of the 17-year-old boy who was killed, not for the people still lingering in prison.
You know, I listen to all this, and I'm researching this, and I said this to you last night on TV, to both of you. I cannot believe all this time nobody has taken the time to do the deep dive into Mueller. I mean, we knew he was the FBI director. We knew Obama wanted him two more years beyond his 10-year term. And we know that, quote, he's a Republican. That's what we keep hearing. He's a Republican. But he certainly seems to be after Donald Trump, because if he wanted to have any semblance of fairness and not have an appearance of impropriety and bias, then he would never have assembled the team that he assembled, Sarah Carter.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have to look at this case by case. I mean, I just want to go back to a couple of things. And I think the Whitey Bulger case is really quite extraordinary and important. But let's just look at the anthrax case, too. That was a case where Mueller worked hand in hand with Comey in this. And it was a completely bungled case. And it was probably one of the biggest cases at that time that those two ever handled. And we saw that they botched the investigation. It was in 2001. Into the letter attacks. I mean, five people died. You know, I think 17 or 18 people were infected, you know, with the anthrax. And they started chasing down the wrong man. They chased down the wrong guy and missed the right guy. I mean, and this was one of the biggest cases. You know, there was a lot of pressure coming down on them. It showed that they kind of bent into pressure. They bent towards that pressure. They went after, you know, an innocent man, Stephen Hatfill. And, you know, when all the evidence, you know, if they would have been following it the right way, would have pointed to this other guy, Ford Dietrich. There are questions here that we have to ask. And, Sean, I keep going over this again and again. The fact that this case, that the special counsel was brought against the president based on erroneous information, based on a flimsy foundation, based on lies, disinformation from the Russians, for a dossier that was paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC, should raise questions about where this special counsel is going.
Stay right there, Sarah.
If there was no crime committed, why are we going in that direction?
Take a quick break. More with David Schoen, more with Sarah Carter, 800-941-SEAN, a toll-free telephone number, as our investigation into the investigators, starting with Robert Mueller, continues, something nobody in the media is touching. And as we continue our investigation into the investigators led by Robert Mueller, which he's beyond reproach. Well, no, his background and his history is showing just the opposite. We're now beginning to fill in a gap, at least in my mind. I never understood why he put together this merry band of Obama, Clinton, and DNC donors and no Trump donors, no Republicans. But we're told he's a Republican. Well, okay, he worked under Obama, and he was also there for the Uranium One deal, and he had an informant inside of Putin's network and did nothing. We continue with Sarah Carter and David Schoen. SarahAcarter.com. Her articles about this are pretty stunning and revealing when you take a look at them. This is personal for you. You know a lot of people, David, in Boston, and a lot of people in Boston are scratching their heads saying, him?
Right. Ironically, I have another connection. That is that I was approached to represent Whitey Bulger after he was convicted, but I had declined that. But
why did you decline that? I think it was on the lam for what, like 18 years, 16 years or something?
Right. After he was convicted pretty quickly, he had a couple of issues on appeal, but I decided it wasn't for me for a couple of reasons, including that the court wouldn't appoint me up there because I was out of the area. But in any event, it was an interesting case. But there are a number of reasons people in Boston were upset. But I want to get back to something that you raised just a few moments ago. And you asked, isn't it puzzling that people haven't complained about, that we haven't done a deep dive, as you say, into Mr. Mueller. And then Sarah raised a great point. She gave the example of the anthrax case. I'll tell you what I think that really highlights. You know, the expression politics makes strange bedfellows, really in the ultimate here. What do I mean by that? Well, back in the day, 9/11 time or the anthrax case or other examples, civil libertarians were criticizing Mr. Mueller left and right that he supported torture for a variety of reasons we can go into in detail if and when we need to. How on earth is it that those same people today lionize him as a hero as if the principles that they purportedly were standing on in and cherished in criticizing him originally simply didn't matter? And I suggest to you that the answer is a very sad one. It's that this pure, unadulterated hatred of the president, anger at the election results, seems to simply trump, no pun intended, principle in these cases. How can that be? What does it say about these civil libertarians, many of whom are close friends of mine?
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to have to let you go. We'll have both of you on Hannity tonight. We're going to continue this deep dive. We'll do the job of the media that they're not going to do. Great work. SarahAcarter.com, Hannity.com for the articles that she's doing on the investigation into Robert Mueller. And David Schoen, thank you. We'll see you again as well. When we come back, Geraldo Rivera, he is on the ground. He is in Austin. We'll get an update on that case where the Austin serial bomber blew himself up this morning. There's fear of more potential explosives. And is there an accomplice? That's coming up next on the Sean Hannity Show.
As members of the Austin Police Department SWAT team approached the vehicle, the suspect detonated a bomb inside the vehicle, knocking one of our SWAT officers back, and one of our SWAT officers fired at the suspect as well. The suspect is deceased and has significant injuries from a blast that occurred from detonating a bomb inside his vehicle. We cannot name the suspect at this time because he has not been positively identified yet by the medical examiner, and next of kin have not yet been notified. So there will be a lengthy investigation that will take place regarding the officer-involved shooting. We don't know where this suspect has spent his last 24 hours, and therefore we still need to remain vigilant to ensure that no other packages or devices have been left through the community. So as we go through the day today, we want the community to remain vigilant, but I also want to look at where we are now in Round Rock and remind our neighboring communities of Round Rock and Cedar Park and the other cities that we do not know where he has been in the past 24 hours, and we need your communities to remain vigilant as well.
All right, that's Brian Manley, the Austin police chief, telling the press that this Austin serial bomber had, in fact, blew himself up, is now dead. We have since identified the individual as Mark A. Condon, and he is a serial bomber, apparently killed himself earlier today as authorities were closing in on him. And anyway, neighbors of the 23-year-old Apparently a homeschool kid growing up, went to Austin Community College, was struggling to wrap their arms around and their minds around what the heck went on here. I know this is a cliche, but I just can't imagine that he did this, said one neighbor. And police have said that Condit, 24, although some public records indicate 23, received a degree from Austin Community College's Northridge campus and had worked at Crux Semiconductor in Austin as a purchasing agent, buyer, and a shipper, and doing shipping and receiving. And according to a profile on a job recruiting website, he had previously worked as a computer repair technician. Very few public social media posts under his name. Geraldo Rivera was amazing last night. He was down on the ground for us in Austin, giving us up-to-the-minute reports. And as we went on the air last night, there had been a report that, in fact, two more bombs after two earlier in the day were found at a local Goodwill shop. And it turned out that they were from this particular individual. Right, Geraldo? How are you? Thank you for last night.
Thank you, brother. It turned out that the Goodwill explosion was not related. Remember, we went through a tortured process whereby the Austin police announced that it was unrelated. It was an incendiary device rather than an explosive, something designed to set fire rather than to blow up. And again, unrelated. So I announced that on your show. We did a bulletin to at the top of the show. But then the Attorney General of the state of Texas came on, another guest he had booked, and he said, no, the explosion is related. Then he had to retract that a half hour later. So to make a long story short, the Goodwill bombing, which does seem a criminal event, or certainly criminal negligence, if somebody actually deposited in the donation bin World War II ammunition is what I guess it was. You know, how stupid can you be? Or how diabolical can you be? But unrelated to Mark A. Condit. Condit, a few hours after you went off the air last night, you know, tracked by the cops from the Red Roof Inn, then blows himself up after driving his vehicle into a ditch as the SWAT team approached him. But it does appear, and I think that this is what's important, Sean, is that this guy, I was talking to a Marine who was with me in Afghanistan in 2004, an explosives expert. He said, full stop, Geraldo, this guy had the education and obviously the motivation to go on the internet and learn how to build the bomb to these homeschooled kids, to really put together enough knowledge where he could then know what component parts to put together. He was sophisticated enough to go to gun shows, buy ammunition, take the ammunition apart, dissect the ammo, take the gunpowder from the bullets, and use that as his explosive. Then also from the internet, buy batteries to provide the electrical jolt to detonate the explosion. You know, exotic batteries, not Duracell, but you know, something far more sophisticated than that. And then for whatever his manifesto will be, whatever his reasoning, whatever the chip on his shoulder is, we'll figure out. But the bottom line is that it really does seem that this 23 or 24-year-old kid from I'm in his neighborhood right now. I'm just half a block from his home in Pflugerville right now. It does appear as if this kid did this on his own, had the capability of doing it on his own, is not a GI or ex-GI, is not a terrorist in the classic sense, but certainly terrorized the capital city of
I want to go back, though,
for the month.
I want to go back to the availability on the internet. And look, we make our living using our First Amendment rights. I'm somebody that believes I've interviewed crazy people my entire career at different points and different times. You know, I've interviewed these neo-Nazi jerks, and you've interviewed them, too. I've interviewed a guy like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed many years ago who talked about killing everybody that's white that's in sight, killing women and babies and children, kill them all. I interviewed him once for 3 hours in a radio studio in Huntsville, Alabama. So we believe in free speech. But when I go on the internet, and I know you have talked about this as well, and you could actually buy, there's a Netflix special about this book with the author of this book called The Anarchist Cookbook. In the book,
right,
it gives you step-by-step instructions on how to build bombs.
And even from the publication of the Anarchist Cookbook, because of various moves to declassify this information, Now the information is even more sophisticated than that. It's obvious that he followed this internet roadmap to a sufficient degree that he could build a bomb that didn't blow up in his face until he triggered it, that he could first place the bombs on the doorsteps. I don't know how he chose the home that he did. Then wire another one with a tripwire for joggers or pedestrians that wounded the other two guys, the two white guys, that made it clear that it wasn't a racial incident. And then go to FedEx and leave the boxes at FedEx. One of them did explode on the conveyor. But it certainly shows the level of sophistication and the peril that you so clearly lay out, Sean. I think that fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Every jerk in the Western world with a half a education and the proper or the sick motivation can access this information. Then with the gunpowder available at gun shows with no traceability, no reporting, there's no laws that says you have to get permission to buy ammo. And these freely available components at the big box stores, my goodness, it's a miracle it doesn't happen more often, Sean.
You know, one of the things, and this rubs up against the issue of freedom of speech, Geraldo, and this is difficult here because, I mean, it's frustrating on the one hand that, you know, you believe in total and complete freedom of speech, and then, okay, well, we'll say, well, you can't print something like the Anarchist Cookbook. You can't tell people or print out or put on a website how to build a fertilizer bomb like that Nazi jerk Tim McVeigh built when he blew up the Oklahoma City bombing or whatever his ideology was. But on the other hand, I figure that these people are going to figure it out anyway, that it's always going to be available, the information. This is why I don't think guns are the answer. You saw what happened in this school the other day. I mean, it was actually a pretty amazing experience where, you know, yesterday we had a shooting take place. You have a guy that had a gun engage him on the campus, which is something you and I agree on that would help protect children. And the opposite impact of what had happened down in Parkland occurred. They were able to stop him because they had an individual arm that was willing to engage right there on the scene.
No doubt about it. What happened in Maryland absolutely confirms and corroborates our feeling that every educational institution over a certain size should definitely have one good guy with a gun. The cop in Maryland, rural Maryland, had the gun, used it with great effect and eliminated the threat after the initial tragedy, unlike Parkland. Absolutely. I have to just give you a P.S. as I'm sitting here in this modest suburban community where Mark Anthony Condit lives outside of Austin, Texas. Over his home right now, vultures are flying, you know, swooping around. It's so eerie, the scene right now. It's almost as if there's a roadkill below them. It's surreal. But one thing I want to add, Sean, is what broke this case wide open was good old-fashioned police work. When the FBI and ATF came in, and so the FBI, the ATF joined the Texas Rangers, the other state authorities, and the hardworking Austin PD. They had enough people, hundreds of agents, where they started going through the receipts of every single big box store in Austin. It was through the receipts and triangulating and all the rest of it that they got the ID. But even though, as you said, Sean, the First Amendment allows anyone to internet search anything they want to, we can, or the authorities, ever since the Edward Snowden scandal, cannot search your internet searches without a warrant. So they first had to get the store receipts. They gave them probable cause. They got the IP search warrant. So they go into the guy's internet. Then they find the suspicious internet searches. And at the same time, the guy makes his most fatal mistake, going to the FedEx with all their sophisticated surveillance video and so forth. Then they track him down. They get an ID in his car. And then they, again, good gumshoe police work. They
unbelievable.
Look, that's the guy.
Hey, listen, think, you know, about the Unabomber. 18 years it took us to find this guy. 18 long years. It is, and look, and what people don't know about Geraldo Rivera, he is revered by the military and by police. You know, we have spent a lot of time talking about the deep state and those in, at the highest level of power inside intelligence and inside the FBI and the wrongdoing. When we don't group into those few, the 99.9% that do the kind of work that these SWAT guys did down in Austin and all the police did down there. And I think it's important to point that out as often as we can. Great work as usual. Thanks, Geraldo. You're the best. We'll see you tonight on Hannity.
Brother.
All right, my friend. God bless you. All right, let's get to our phones here. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, Patty is in Houston, Texas. Patty, all right, this guy blew himself up earlier today. I know it's a little bit of relief for the people of Texas, but there is still a fear out there among law enforcement that more potential explosives might have been sent out or there might be an accomplice. But I think we've come a long way to ending this terrible, you know, situation with this Austin serial bomber.
Sean, I'm calling you just to thank you. And it's really weird because literally I was just talking to my husband a few minutes ago in the car. We're in Houston, but I have a best friend in Round Rock and a niece that's in Austin. And we just, you took such a personal interest. And I mean it. You know, when you say that you love Texas and that you might want to be here one day, I really believe you.
I do.
So we were so, I mean, I cannot believe it because we were just talking about this a couple of minutes ago. Yes, my niece had a fear. She works there 2 days a week, Monday and Tuesday, of really going anywhere today, of leaving her house. And so I don't know, other than the fact that he's gone, thank goodness, this 24-year-old and I guess found close to Round Rock, I don't know how we're supposed to feel. But you took a personal interest that was
Well, I'm going to tell her how to feel. And listen, I lived this personally in New York post 9/11. And
that's true.
And one of the things that really stood out, a profile in courage I always felt, and I've been best friends with him before and after and still today, and is Rudy Giuliani. And I know everybody got mad at Bernie Kerik, but Bernie Kerik was standing right there with him every step of the way. And and all those firemen and all those policemen and all those people that went up when the world was headed down in the other direction. And it just shows you how amazing that these law enforcement officials are, these first responders are, these firemen are, paramedics are. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's a bitter conflict in me. In many ways, we're leading the charge exposing corruption at the highest level in the intel community and at the Department of Justice and at the FBI. What they do impacts the rank and file. And all my rank and file friends in the FBI, I can tell you, and in intelligence, all of them, without exception, are so disappointed at the actions of the Comeys and the McCabes and the Strucks and the Pages and then Attorney General Loretta Lynch and others. Most people that I know in law enforcement have a calling to do that job. They love to protect and serve. But we'll give you the last word, Patty.
No, only thank you, because seriously, and you always mention that the FBI too, there's a lot of good people in the FBI. But unfortunately, some of the higher-ups are giving them a bad name.
All right, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. When we come back, news roundup and information overload hour. Jessica Tarlov, Ron Christie, and then your calls. 800-941-SEAN is our number.
Look, the president once again has maintained that it's important for us to have a dialogue with Russia so that we can focus on some areas of shared interest, the ones that I've already named. At the same time, we're going to continue to be tough on them. The president joined other countries in these calls. Both Germany and France have reached out, as well as President Obama in 2012. And certainly the president finds there to be an importance in having that dialogue with Russia so that we can talk about some of the big problems that face the world.
The president often congratulates leaders who are not democratically elected.
I was wondering if one of Putin's henchmen didn't pick up the phone and said, listen, bro, you better call the boss or else.
You are knee deep in poop. You don't want to seem like you're wallowing in it. So his fingerprints is all over Russia.
And the only thing we heard out of President Trump, and I think it was three times in a 1 minute span, well, I believe President Putin and I are going to see each other very soon.
I find that equally appalling to see now Donald Trump legitimizing a fraudulent election in Russia by a dictator who's been poisoning people on the soil of our biggest ally.
Yeah, but liberals were perfectly fine with the idea of dragging in cargo planes $150 billion in cash and other currencies to give to the murdering mullahs in Iran in the hopes that, well, maybe they'll stop saying that death to America. Maybe they'll stop burning our flag. Maybe they'll be nice to us. President Trump, just a week and a half ago, imposed new sanctions, on Russia, on organizations, on individuals tied to the cyber attacks against the U.S. The president joined France and Great Britain and Germany as it relates to the belief that, yeah, in fact, Russia was involved in the poisoning of two individuals. This president last year signed legislation imposing punitive sanctions on Russia for their belligerent activities and human rights abuses and the evasion of existing sanctions. Oh, and this is the same president that is literally cutting the legs out from underneath the Russian economy as he has now opened up ANWR, expanded coal mining for the first time in many years in America, is moving towards natural gas and energy independence, which means that not only is Russia going to be able to charge less, nobody will need any of their energy, something that Obama failed to do. Anyway, news roundup, information overload hour. This is the Sean Hannity Show. 800-941-SEAN is our number. Joining us now, Ron Christie, former special assistant to President Bush, columnist for Sidewire. Jessica Tarlov is the head of the research at Bustle and a Fox News contributor. Let me ask you a question. Was Barack Obama tough on Russia when he was warned in 2014 by Devin Nunes that Russia wanted to have an impact on the 2016 elections? And was he wrong in 2016, just 2 weeks before the election, when he said to Donald Trump, stop whining. No serious person could ever believe that anybody could ever impact our elections. Why didn't Obama do anything? Jessica Tarlov.
Well, Obama did do some things, but I think, you know, all Democrats have agreed largely that he fell short there. Even Adam Schiff has admitted that on the Sunday shows. So you obviously have a point there. The Russian reset.
And the president has sanctioned now more than three dozen organizations, individuals involved in the Russia incursion into Ukraine. Right. And the president has joined the world of the other countries as it relates to the poisoning of these people.
Well, I think that the issue with how President Trump treats Russia is that he's usually slow out of the gate with these things. And there are people who are critical of this set of sanctions and feel like he could sanction Putin specifically. And that's how you would make a real impact over the poisoning of the Russian spy who was traded to the UK. So I completely understand where you're coming from here. I think that the whole, you know, he called the congratulate thing, that doesn't really make that much of a difference, even though his notes said do not congratulate. So he wasn't supposed to do that.
God forbid he's his own man and he didn't follow the talking points.
Well, but it's not a real election, though, and I think we can all accept that. I mean, Vladimir Putin hasn't been.
Well, the reset didn't particularly work out well either, in spite of Hillary handing a reset button to her counterpart.
Democratic leader of Russia? No, none of us do.
Okay, well, remember the.
Hey, Ron, tell Vladimir I'll have more flexibility after the election. Tell Vladimir, okay? Don't let anyone else know I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I tell Vladimir.
Look, you know, Sean, it's good to see you. You know, the funny thing is, the only thing we've seen with Russia and collusion is with Obama and with Hillary, with the Hillary Clinton Foundation and Bill, and they're taking all this money in. And, of course, you see Obama in 2012, and he says, oh, congratulations, Mr. President. And what does the media do? They say, oh, that's so wonderful. But you go back to Russian meddling, and I'd love to challenge Jesse on this, because you had John Brennan, who was Obama's CIA director, who knew for years that Russia was messing around or trying to mess around with our election. What did Obama do? Nothing. He didn't do anything. Brennan didn't do anything. The Democrats didn't care. And then all of a sudden, Donald Trump gets in and they need an excuse as to why they lost a pathetic race. And they say, oh, it's Russian and collusion. So Obama knew it, did nothing. Brennan knew it, did nothing. They just can't take the fact that they lost and they got humiliated and that millions of more people wanted Donald Trump to be the president than the failed Clintons.
We know it's not millions more because it's just millions and, well, thousands in specific states. But anyway, I'm not here to debate the popular vote versus the Electoral College.
Because it, doesn't matter.
And no, listen, I'm not one of those people who says the reason Hillary Clinton lost is because of Russian collusion. So I think obviously the main thing was that she didn't show up in the right places. And I think Bernie Sanders had a tremendous effect. I think the Jim Comey letter had a tremendous effect. And that's a U.S. problem. That's not a Russian problem, though he was seeing some Russian intelligence over the summer. But either way, I think it's something that many people on both sides of the aisle agree needs to be looked into. There have been 19 indictments passed down so far in the Mueller investigation. And
none of which have anything to do with collusion. None of which have. Well, see, this is what I love. Oh, we can go looking for a crime and then get people in a perjury trap, or we can go back and look at people's finances from over a decade ago and say, oh, we have an indictment for Russia collusion. There is no Russian collusion. There is no effort on behalf of the Trump campaign or the president and his current advisors to collude to steal an election. And by the way, Jesse, you know this, there is no federal crime of collusion. So even if you're going after the president for collusion, there is no crime of collusion. And that's why you hear the Democrats drop that narrative. And now we're hearing about obstruction of justice. But, you know, I'm not attacking you. I just think it's so disingenuous that so many of these Democrats are grasping at anything to take down the duly elected president of the United States. They're going after people. You don't see Andrew McCabe having to sell his house. You don't see Andrew McCabe being frog-marked out the way, of course, that you've seen some of the Trump associates. I just think the double standard that has been shown by those at the upper echelon of the FBI towards Trump folks versus Clinton people and Obama people has been abhorrent.
Well, I think that if you're talking about, you know, of Trump folks, you're talking about someone like Paul Manafort, who has been dirty dealing for decades, and that's well known, you know, in the...
What did it have to do with Russia?
Oh, well, no, Chris... Sorry, Ron was just saying that there are folks are having to sell their homes and are in all sorts of trouble, and there's nothing.
Well, I mean, hang on a second. We know that McCabe got fired for lying under oath multiple times. No, Donald Trump had nothing to do with the firing. The firing was recommended by the FBI itself and by their own protocols and the own laws of the land. And when you lie under oath, if your name is General Flynn, you have to go to court and then have to sell your house and your whole life gets turned upside down for years.
Wasn't he also working as a foreign agent?
Excuse me. And how many times has that law been enforced ever? I don't believe that's the case.
Never.
Never successfully.
Well, he was, though.
McCabe lied under oath, shouldn't he be charged with that?
If he lied, I mean, he contests that. So I assume that there will be bevy of.
And what about James Comey? Have you ever heard of an investigation where they're writing an exoneration letter months before they ever interview the main people that are the target of the investigation? Have you ever heard of that before?
Oh, well, we've talked about this.
No, I didn't ask if we talked about it. Is that the way it usually works law enforcement?
And Judge Napolitano has even said
I'm not asking what Judge Napolitano. I'm asking you.
Well,
have you ever yourself?
I work in the FBI.
All right. But it does sound unusual. Even to you, right? Three months before you interview Hillary, you're writing her exoneration. That seems odd, right?
Well, yes, it seems odd, but I'm not in a position to say that has
Let me ask you this.
Before.
Do you think it's
things.
Odd that you literally present before a FISA court bought and paid for Russian lies from one campaign, Hillary's campaign, and you don't tell the FISA court judges on four separate occasions that she paid for it and that it's full of Russian lies? Do you think that sounds fishy? Is that the America we want? We're going to get FISA warrants to spy on Americans based on one individual's payment to a foreign national who uses Russia and Russian government sources to smear another presidential candidate, and we find out that those lies were exactly that, lies?
Well, the way that I understand it from all of the memos and what's been made public, at least I know a lot has been redacted, that it wasn't based solely on the Steele dossier and that the FISA court judges...
Let me quote the Grassley Graham memo. Let me quote Andrew McCabe. Andrew McCabe said... Oh, if with no dossier, there wouldn't even be a FISA court application. And the Grassley Graham memo said the bulk of the information in the FISA application was the dossier, Ron Christie.
And not only that, Sean, you go back to Stroke and the fact that he's actually friends with one of the FISA court judges. This would never have held up in a court of law. They went to FISA for a reason. They had different standards, the evidentiary standards under the Fourth Amendment. They would never have had a case. They would never have brought a case. We would never be talking about this. The Democrats knew that they could use the rules, they could manipulate the rules to try to go after Trump because they wanted to bring down this president because
it's
of the way
more than
Hillary
that. They
lost.
Broke the law.
Oh, they broke the law. And to say nothing of, look at Comey and look at McCabe. McCabe says, oh, well, you know, I was actually talking to the director. The director knew that I was leaking to people.
Right.
And then what do we have Comey under oath saying? No,
I never authorized. Well, that's going to be eventually reconciled. Never mind the fact that the whole investigation into Hillary's email server scandal was a sham. It was a hoax. It was rigged from the get-go, and the fix was in.
We need another special counsel.
Yes, we do. 800-941-SEAN. More with our News Roundup Information Overload Hour. Ron Christie, Jessica Tarlove, Hannity tonight at 9. We got a big show tonight. Tell you more about that in a minute. All right, as we continue, Jessica Tarlove, Ron Christie are with us. Let me ask you this question, and then we'll get Ron's take, Jessica. When Hillary has subpoenaed emails, and she puts it on a server, even though it's illegal to do so, in a mom-and-pop shop bathroom closet, because you can't put classified, top-secret, special access program information there. Anyway, the information gets subpoenaed. She deletes 33,000 emails. She acid washes the hard drive. And then she takes a hammer to the devices where those emails might be, and then takes out the SIM cards. Does that sound like obstruction of justice in Jessica Tarlove's world? If I did it, would I be in trouble?
I presume so. It certainly seems extreme. And obviously, she maintains that she only deleted personal emails. And
I didn't ask you if it sounded extreme. Does it sound like she's obstructing justice? I'm asking a very specific question.
But I don't feel like I'm in a position to say that. I am not a lawyer. I don't work for the FBI. I don't know what to say. I have been on your show many times and talked about this and said that that does not.
If I did that and I got charged with obstruction of justice, Ron Christie, you're a lawyer, right?
I am a lawyer.
Would you be able to get me out of that?
No. And let me take it a step further, Sean. You know, for having had the highest security classification when I was in the White House, you use a different computer. You're not on a typical terminal. You're on a secure terminal. If I had put a flash drive in my computer and downloaded 33,000 emails and put them on my flash drive, obstruction, I would go to jail. If I had done exactly what Hillary Clinton had done and had a mom-and-pop server, I would have gone to jail.
You ever hear of Christian Saucier, Ron?
I haven't.
Christian Saucier, you know, he was very proud of his work. He worked in a U.S. submarine.
Oh,
he,
yes, that poor young gentleman. Yeah, who took a couple of photographs.
Six photographs.
Yeah.
Never sent them to anybody.
No.
But he did lose his phone. He spent a year in jail.
When you have TSSCI, the classification that you keep making reference to, you know exactly what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. Hillary Clinton knew. Huma Abedin knew. They knew exactly what they were trying to do, which was to skirt the system.
And why do people that smart like Jessica Tarlove, why does she not see this for a clean, clear case of obstruction?
Well, I think that she wants to be supportive of Hillary. But if you just say if it's person Joe Blow or if it's Linda, if Linda had done the exact same thing.
I'm blaming Linda, too.
I haven't seen you in so long, Linda. I would never blame Lauren, though. I'd never blame Lauren.
If Jessica did it, would you be able to get her out of jail?
No. I really wouldn't. I mean,
would you visit me though?
Yes, I would, because you know how much I like you. But to be honest with you,
I'd visit you with a cake and a file. I'd be willing to go to jail for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, hey, listen. Remember the actress Hannah? What's her name? Daryl Hannah.
Daryl Hannah.
I actually bailed her out of jail once.
Yes, you did.
Really? What?
Well, she was going. She's like one of these, you know.
She was protesting.
She's like an environmental kook, but I really liked her, and I said, I'll bail you out the next time you get arrested.
You just liked her mermaid.
No. Did you? But we did do that, right? You sent the money, didn't you?
Yeah, we helped.
Black.
Yeah, I literally bailed her out of jail. I paid for it.
So, Jesse, you know if we get in trouble, we know who to call. We're calling Uncle Sean to bail us out.
Uncle Sean.
It would definitely
Uncle Sean will be
call.
There. That's all I do. I fix things. I'm like Mr. Wolf in Pulp Fiction. You know?
But notwithstanding, look, obstruction is a very serious charge, Sean, but also mishandling classified materials. Those statutes are in place for a reason. And you look and you read these things and you say, if I break the law, I deserve to go to jail.
All right. By the way, Jessica, it's Ron's world and you happen to live in it.
I love that sound.
That doesn't work, by the way, with anybody else. And that's
not fair. Sorry. All right. We got to roll. Thank you both. When we come back, wide open telephones on this Wednesday.
Hannity Show.
All right, 25 till the top of the hour. We'll get to your calls this half hour. Let me just play a couple of Hillary cuts here. I mean, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump has undermined the presidency to enrich family. Erratic behavior is undermining global order. I'm like, wow. Can she really be that out of touch with who she is? I'm going to play that. And then Hillary said, well, white women voted for Trump because their husbands, their bosses, and their sons told them how to vote. And then Donald Trump responding to that. Hit it.
He has undermined the office and used it to enrich himself and his family, disregarded laws, ethical standards. He's crossed into a territory of behavior and actions that are unpredictable, that are erratic, that are undermining the stability of the global order.
We do not do well with white men, and we don't do well with married white women. And part of that is an identification with the Republican Party and a sort of ongoing pressure to vote the way that your husband, your boss, your son, whoever, believes you should.
Her last statement about women, they have to get approval from their husbands, their sons, and their male bosses to vote for Trump. That was not a good statement. Not good. You notice how fast the Democrats have run from these statements now? They are disavowing those statements like I've never heard before. She's wrong. People that were her biggest supporters are now saying, what is she doing? Why doesn't she just go home?
I mean, could you imagine? I want to know what century we're living in if men and bosses and sons are telling women, only white women, how to vote. Linda. Let's say, did your husband, your boss, or your son have any influence in how you voted in the last election?
No way, man.
Could they ever have any influence in how? This is the dumbest question I've ever asked anybody on this radio show.
Nobody puts baby in a corner. Everybody knows how I roll.
But do you know any woman that would say, yes, yes, boss, yes, dear, yes, son, I will do what you say. And by the way, what happens if the son and the boss and the husband give three different ideas? Then what is she going to do?
I think what she was trying to do was deflect the responsibility of her many mistakes in life.
Why are you being serious? We're supposed to have fun with this.
Oh, let's have fun. Let's have fun. No, if any man tried to tell me what to do, I would kick him where it counts.
Why are you advocating violence? That's not nice.
Family, and my family knows that. They've witnessed me do it.
They've witnessed you do it?
We got pulled over the other night. Lauren sees the way that I am. You know, when people are doing...
Were you nice to the cop?
Well, the officer was incorrect, so we had to have a talk. But that's beside
Did you get a ticket?
But if that officer...
Whoa.
No, I did not.
You didn't get the ticket, and you were arguing with
and
the officer.
And by the end of
By the way, you know what the dumbest thing to do is ever argue with a police officer? Why are you arguing with a police officer?
First of all, I was not arguing with him. He was totally freaking wrong, okay?
About what? What did he pull you over for?
So, and Lauren was with me. She was a witness.
What did you get pulled over for?
I'm going to tell you.
I'm waiting.
See, this is the problem with men. I'm trying to have a conversation.
Problem with men. Broad, sweeping generalization.
She wants you to know that I was there because people never can believe the things that actually happened to her because they are so unbelievable, but they really happened.
They're crazy.
Listen, I'll be honest, I'm not in that category. I believe any of her crazy stories.
I've been around.
I've actually seen a few crazy incidents myself. All right, you got pulled over for what?
So we get pulled over because the traffic is out of bounds going into the Lincoln Tunnel.
Okay.
So long story short. Anybody who's driven in New York City during rush hour, it's a freaking nightmare. So we're going to make this right-hand turn. You're not supposed to make a right. And I had been there the day before.
Whoa, you're not supposed to make a right.
But it's only on certain times. So it's like before 7, after 3, if you eat breakfast. It's all these ridiculous rules that Bloomberg put in order. Okay, fine. So we're at this light. You're not supposed to make the right, yada, yada, yada. And this cop that I had seen the day before, I had said to him, I was like, oh, can you make the right here? Because everybody's making it. Like, what's the deal with the sign? He's like, oh, yeah, totally ignore that. Make the right. It's too crazy here. You have to make the right. You got to do it. So, all right, fine. So I make the right. I no sooner get around the corner.
And there's a co-op.
And there's this cop, and he walks up to me, and he doesn't talk to me. I roll my window down, you know, hi, officer, what's the problem?
Hi, officer, you want some coffee?
He's like, pull over. I'm like, oh, God.
Oh,
right?
God.
This guy's had a bad day, and I'm going to be persona non grata. So I pull over, yada, yada. And he's talking to a truck he pulls over. He's talking to another car he's pulled over. He hasn't gotten to me yet. And I'm looking at Laura. I'm like, what is the problem? What's going on? So finally, he gets to my window, and he goes, do you know why I pulled you over? I said, actually, I don't. I'm very curious. Why'd you pull me over? And he says, did you read the sign? I'm like, what sign? He's like, the sign. I'm like, what sign? There's a lot of signs. It's New York City. There's like 16 signs at every stop. And he's like, the sign that says no right turn. I said, oh, yeah, well, I talked to your buddy on 43rd Street. And he said it was okay for me to turn. He goes, what guy? I'm like, your fellow officer on 43rd.
Your fellow officer. Okay.
So we're going back and forth. He goes, what street are you on now? I'm like, I'm on 41st. He's like, you talked to the guy on 43rd. Where are you? You're on 41st. You're on my street. I'm like, you own the street? You don't own the street. I own the street. I pay taxes. You don't pay taxes here. I was like, what are you talking about? Why am I pulled over? So I go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Finally, he goes, let me see your license and registration. I said, for what? He said, you should make the right turn. I said, I just told you, your buddy on 43rd Street told me to make the right turn here. Why do I got to show you my license and registration if you told me to make the right? He's like, I don't know who you're talking about. I'm like, the guy in the small car. It says traffic cop. I talked to him. He said I could make the right. Maybe you should radio him and ask him. So he's just like, oh, my God.
No, he let you go for his own sanity.
No.
he let you go because he couldn't handle any more of it. That's why he
did. But he did. He took my license, and yeah. he takes my registration. So I hand him my registration. It's in a nice, clear pack. It's like,
oh,
perfect.
My God. Do you have any PBA cards that say my name on it?
No, I don't. I would never do that.
Why not?
Because I'm not you. I'm me.
No, but I have PBA cards that have been given to me
for
my staff.
First of all, that moment did not require a PBA card because I was innocent, and I needed
I was innocent. You know what the dumbest thing to do in the whole wide world when you get pulled over?
Argue with a cop.
Is argue with a cop.
Except and, when they're wrong.
Okay.
You're all fallible.
It doesn't matter if they're right or wrong. Just say yes, sir. No, sir. I'm so sorry.
Well, I started out like that, but then he had an attitude problem. And
He had an attitude problem.
He didn't want to talk about the guy on 43rd Street.
What did he do with your license and registration?
So he takes my license and my registration, and he comes back and he says, listen, you got to look at the sign. I said, let's have a real talk about this. I said, now, while you were sitting there looking at my license and registration, I took a videotape of all the cars making a right that you didn't stop after me. Now, let's watch this together. Now, all of these, and he's looking at me. He's like, ma'am, I cannot stop every car. I'm like, oh, but you stopped me. Oh, so I get a ticket and all these cars. Look at this video. Look at this video. I said, I narrated it for you. I said, now in the 6 minutes you were over there, I have videotaped all these cars. And you can see every single license. If you're going to give all of them tickets, then I'll take your ticket. But if you're not giving me a ticket, I think we still need to have a talk about the fact that you can't even see the sign because the bus in front of me that is allowed to make the right was blocking the sign.
Is this exactly how it happened, Laura?
It is. It is. And we have the video to prove it.
And you know what he says?
You're right.
You know what he says?
He said, get out of here.
He says, I don't know why you're listening to cops anyway. You shouldn't be listening to cops. You know, you got to listen to yourself. You got to judge for yourself.
Did you record that too?
So I said to him, I said, so you don't want me to listen to the cops anymore? He's like, right. I'm like, okay, thank you, officer. Have a nice day. And I rolled my window up and off I went.
Only Linda can get through an entire saga with a police officer. And at the way end, he tells you, you know what? Don't listen to the police. Listen to yourself.
He was totally wrong.
Okay. No, he was right. But I'm just going to say one thing. He just said, get out of here, because he couldn't take it anymore. That's why he said, get out of here. All right, let's get
in any event, that cop, you, my brother, my husband, nobody would tell me how to vote.
Oh yeah,
in summation.
I forgot about that part. Lance is in Amarillo, Texas. What's up, Lance? How are you?
Hey, Sean. Thank you for what you do. I have two questions. One is, do you think Mueller is going to, on purpose, extend the investigation past the midterms just to see if the Democrats take the House?
If he can, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. And the other question is, have you ever wondered if Sessions is really part of the deep state and recused himself on purpose to let Rosenstein do the bidding for him?
I don't believe he did it on purpose, but he should have told the president none of this happens if he didn't recuse himself. With that said, the attorney general does have an opportunity to make this right. How do you make it right? Well, the DOJ, the FBI can't investigate themselves. The only answer now is a second special counsel, and that's it. That's the only choice we got. Michelle is in North Carolina. What's up, Michelle? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Sean. Thanks so much for letting me
talk. Well, thank you. I'm glad you called.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm going to just deal with Hillary Clinton. I just want to say she is an embarrassment to women everywhere. As far as I'm concerned, so they go after white men. Now she's going to go after white women. When is she going to take responsibility for herself? I'm sorry, but we're supposed to be in the age of empowerment, and we're supposed to be, you know, women can do anything and we can be anything and don't put limits on us. And then she's telling us that there's an entire generation of us and there's an entire millions of us that are voting because our husbands tell us how to vote.
just FYI, we didn't vote for you because you're a crook, you're a liar, because you're horrible at your job, you were a failure as Secretary of State. And you know what? It's time for her to be behind bars, just like any one of us would be.
I got to tell you something. I don't know what century she's living in. And I've said this before, presidential candidates that lose, they lose their minds in the process. Nobody that runs for president thinks they're ever going to lose. And, you know, I hate to say it, you don't win every time in life. And how you deal with winning and losing, you know, talks a lot about your character. Unbelievable. I mean, I what century is this? I listen to my husband, my boss. I can't get Linda to get me a cup of coffee if she doesn't want to get a cup of coffee.
Oh, wait a minute. You got to tell the truth about that. Everybody knows I'm a mother hen.
Well, to an annoying degree.
But quite frankly,
here's Sean Hannity.
But I bring it without being asked. It's different.
Okay. Here's Sean Hannity. I'm on a diet. I let everybody know I'm on a diet. So what does Linda do? She orders up as much candy and
you don't even
donuts.
Eat candy.
I would if I could, but I don't. And, oh, you look hungry. Oh, you've had a stressful day. Here is an entire 40 pounds of meat for you to eat, just in case you want a little snack.
But I didn't give you bread.
Oh, good.
Just gave you the meat. It's protein.
Tracy in Katy, Texas. What's up, Tracy? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
What's happening?
I'm doing good, but watching television, I don't know, man. I'm kind of getting freaked out here. The president is just showing me. I'm looking at him in
what's the matter?
From the position that he's detrimental to the country, and he's showing it just with this Putin call. I mean, I'm not talking about Stormy Daniels and the other person, but this Putin call, and what he's trying to do with Mueller, he's trying to elevate himself above the law, as far as I'm concerned. And right now, what's scaring me the most, Sean, is that we're stuck between China and Russia for superpower status.
Let me ask you a question. What's worse, the fact that Hillary put top secret classified special access program information that hostile actors like Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, and others hacked into, or Donald Trump, whose tough on Russia record is in a year 1,000 times stronger than Obama's, and he said, yeah, congratulations. What's better for the country? I'll take Trump cutting out the economic juice of Russia, which is energy, and becoming energy independent.
What you describe with respect to Obama and Hillary, I know that, you know, I studied Pavlov's dog. I did psychology, and you know, you can.
Yeah, we all studied Pavlov's dog. We've all learned, we all sat through those boring psychological babble classes. Yeah.
So I know that your base in the conservative party, if they hear Hillary Clinton in comparison, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about Donald Trump, who was told by his dad, do not congratulate someone as a dictator. And I'm looking at Donald Trump, who's had meetings at Trump Tower, and I'm looking at him as using Cambridge Analytics to get 50 million data on.
You can thank Obama for that, but go ahead.
I'm looking at his actions, and if I look at his actions as someone who's betraying a nation, he gets top honors by betraying a nation. What he's doing is dismantling us, and I think China's already attacking us economically.
They didn't use that data. Remember, the data analytics issue, that was all designed and put in place by Obama, and all of those people then worked for Hillary in terms of what they did. And you're kind of forgetting the whole Russian dossier thing as you discuss this that she paid for. You're missing a few big points here.
But Cambridge Analytics is not a part of Obama. What they just showed on Channel 4 News of how Cambridge Analytics is easily usable for dirty tricks, it adds up to the collusion. The fact that Donald Trump didn't put no money into his election was showing me now, tells me that he didn't have to worry about putting too much money in his campaign because the Russians were. A lot of this stuff is adding up, but the fact that you want to go after Mueller, and I heard earlier you want to go after Mueller, is ridiculous because Mueller's a Republican, Comey's a Republican, Rosenstein, and you know what's really weird? The person who leaked, for instance, the fact that he congratulated Putin, these are showing me that there are Republicans that's close to
No, you're missing the deep state actors that don't want the president to succeed. And this is what I've been saying. You're missing a whole big part of the equation here. And the deep state protects itself. Look, if Mueller and Rosenstein and Comey, if they have nothing to hide, then let's have the second special counsel. And by the way, they should embrace it because weren't they lecturing Trump this weekend? Act like you're innocent. Well, the way I would act like I was innocent is I'd be screaming from the housetop, the rooftop, that I'm innocent, which is what Trump's doing. I wouldn't say, no, continue your 2-year investigation. I'm innocent. I'll just be quiet. I'll say nothing. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. We have an amazing show tonight, Hannity, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. We will continue. Who is Robert Mueller. We're doing a deep dive, and we will tell you things that nobody else has found. Alan Dershowitz says this whole Mueller thing needs to go away. And Congressman Meadows, Gates, and Biggs, well, they have a letter that they sent to the FBI Director Wray and Geraldo. Well, now the Austin bomber has killed himself and blown himself up. We'll update you from Austin where he's broadcasting. That's tonight at 9. We'll see you back here tomorrow. See you tonight at 9. As always, thank you all for being with us.